everyone, and welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, the mighty 101.5 FM. I am one of your co-hosts, Jim Samaria.
Greetings, listeners. I am your other co-host, Mark Plotnick. Jim, did you miss me?
No.
Okay. Thanks for being so honest.
That's all right.
Well, each week, Jim and I bring you songs, insights, and interviews covering rock music and more from the 1950s through the 1980s or wherever the music takes us.
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which, by the way, is available on Amazon and Black Circle Records up in Lake Geneva. Our book features my photography of classic rock era artists from 1973 to present day with words by that squee wascal, Mark Plotnick.
Jim, be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits.
Okay, Elmer. Hey, Mark, when our generation was buying the majority of music, LPs or singles back in the 60s or 70s, we would go to our local record store and peruse for hours. We would read the back of the album, seeing who played what, looking at the cover art. I would even look at who took the photos, and that's how I knew about Jim Marshall, the famous photographer. He seemed to have photographed everyone back in the day.
Yeah, Jim, and not only that, but there was a shared cultural experience between customers and staff at these local record stores. It seemed everyone was turning each other on to music they discovered, and the joy of flipping through actual records in a bin was so satisfying, kind of like going to a brick-and-mortar bookstore.
Yeah, you know, those were the days, and I loved the 2.5 years I worked at Flipside Records in Arlington Heights, Downer Grove, and Foster Avenue store in Chicago. The clientele was very curious about everything and experimental, always asking for advice on what's new out there.
Well, I had two favorite record stores. They're not around anymore because I'm old, but one was on Armitage Avenue in Chicago, and you'd walk out of that place with a dozen LPs under your arm for $20. And I have this double live album copy of Fleetwood Mac in Chicago that was labeled promotional copy, not for sale. Yeah, there was some funny stuff going on in that store, but nobody really cared. The other was on Sheridan Road near the Granada Theater in East Rogers Park. And I'll never forget this. It was so long ago. I was looking in the cream bin, and the owner handed me an album and said, "Buy this. You won't be disappointed." And he was right. It was Leslie Wesson Mountain. That's, you know, stuff like that just happened.
I know. I thoroughly enjoy that. I would always love when they would ask you a certain album. I had one person come up to me and said, "There's an album I want to listen to that I heard at a party, and there's an apple on the front." And I said, "Well, the only one I could think of was Jeff Beck album." Well, it turned out it was Eat a Peach by the Allman Brothers. And so I always liked those kind of quizzes when people would come in. Well, I also know of many record stores owners that still give that old-time service to the music-listening public, and we have one of them right here in the studio. Please welcome the proprietor of Black Circle Records in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, Mr. Tim Townsend.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here, Tim.
Yeah, Tim.
In 2012, you decided to open your own record store in Lake Geneva. Tell us how that came about. What motivated you to open a store?
Music, music, music. You know, I mean, I obviously grew up on music, grew up on albums, and the store was something I've always wanted to do. I think over the years, I retained all this useless information of music knowledge just growing up. And like you had said, Jim, reading the album covers and the liner notes and stuff. And like me having this store is like my way to give back and share that information with people and the stories and the music. And it's just, you know, it's really, it's a dream come true. I'm very blessed to be able to do what I love and have this music store and share all this musical knowledge and stories. I mean, you come into my store, once we start talking music, it's game on. You be there for a couple hours, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, something I've always been interested in, you know, I've been in your store several times. How do you go about choosing records for your store? What's the process of sourcing the music that you sell there?
Well, really, with the used albums, the original vinyl, is, you know, I'll buy out other people's collections, like they've been collecting their whole life, whatever. Now it's time to start letting them go, give them new life. But really, that's just your basic mix of all kinds of different genres, anything from the 50s on up to today, you know, rock and roll, blues, the whole nine yards. But now I will say, with the resurgence of new vinyl, that's where I'm like a kid in a candy store, because now I'm picking and choosing what I'm going to have.
Now, do you, and we're going to get into this whole new vinyl trend later, but so do you negotiate with people who bring in their collections? What are you looking for when somebody like brings in a box of albums?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm looking for stuff that I know is going to do well in my store and interest people. But I also like to get a lot of different and off the wall, maybe obscure stuff that people don't know about. Because, I mean, there's so many bands out there that maybe only had one or two albums and just disappeared. But we got some great music from these bands. And I'm the kind of guy that seeks this stuff out. I mean, not only old bands, but even new bands today that are, say, flying under the radar. And I like to go out of my way and stock my store with that kind of music. So, again, I can turn people on that more or less maybe would have never even heard of these bands.
Well, Tim, we're letting you play DJ today, which I think you're going to enjoy. Tim has chosen some of his favorite songs to play on the show today, and we're going to kick off with Delaney and Bonnie's Soul Shake from their 1970 album, To Bonnie from Delaney. Before we play the song, what is so special about this song for you?
Oh, God, Delaney and Bonnie, where do I start, and how much time do we have?
25 seconds.
Yeah, they were great. I loved them. No. No, I mean, Delaney and Bonnie, these guys to me were like the whole package. They were rock and roll. They were rhythm and blues. They were gospel. And, I mean, their music just spoke to people, and Bonnie Bramlett's voice gave you chills because it was so soulful.
Yeah.
And it just tied it all together. But my God, not to mention the musicians that had a revolving door coming in and out of their band was incredible.
Well, speaking of the personnel on this album, Tim, basically you had the entire Derek and the Dominoes band, even Little Richard, and actually my late friend Wayne Jackson of the legendary Memphis Horns. So anyways, let's take it away, Bonnie and Delaney. Let's listen to Soul Shake.
Right on.
Soul Shake on.
was Bonnie and Delaney, a little gospely feel there at the end of the song. Loved it. We hope you are enjoying the classic rock show on WHRU-LP, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, where we play the greatest music of all time. Yes.
All right, let's get back to our special guest, Tim. You touched on before, there's sales trends that are pointing to a resurging interest in vinyl. Why do you think this is happening?
Oh, God, man. You know, I think after riding out the whole CD thing and the digital downloads and stuff, I personally believe people want to get back to actually holding a physical copy in their hands. I mean, the artwork on the albums, you can actually read the liner notes, the stories. I mean, you lost all that with CDs and stuff. You still had the artwork, but it was so compressed.
Had to go shopping with a magnifying
glass. Right, yeah, and to read the back of it.
Right, right.
I mean, you missed all that. And not to mention the sound quality, just something with albums. I mean, it has that
warmer
heart and soul. Yeah,
yes.
You know what I mean?
I think every producer and musician will tell you that vinyl has a warmer sound to it, and
absolutely,
digital recordings tend to be, they're without flaws, but they're very cold sounding.
Yes, it's not real.
It's not real. There you go. All right.
The only things I liked about CDs is they didn't skip. I still have some of my albums from the 60s, Paul Revere and the Raiders.
No Snap, Crackle, Pop.
Yeah, I hear the skip in the same spot, and every time I hear it on the radio, it's like, why isn't it skipping right there?
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, those old records from the 60s were still nice and thick. They could take a beating better than any CD could.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was the time? I think it was like in the mid-70s that the oil production was down, and
the Dynaflex records.
Right, and the records became like bowls.
Yeah. You know?
They did. They got warped very easily.
They were called Dynaflex.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
And when I was working the flip side, people would be bringing these things back, and they'd be going over. No one could see my hand right now, but they'd be going like waves over the needle. Yeah. So, for most baby boomers, which we are all part of, we all grew up on vinyl, and it's the album sleeve graphics, inserts, and liner notes which made the purchases of records so satisfying, which we just kind of hit on. Just speak a little bit more on the motivating factors for vinyl buyers. Just give us a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just to touch back again, like I said, I mean, especially nowadays, it's almost we're going back to the 70s to where if you don't have an idea of a band, that artwork on the album cover jumps out at you. And that's so true nowadays because there's so many young kids getting into vinyl. And, they really don't know about the classic rock bands and all that from the 60s and 70s. So they're basically flipping through blind like we did when we were kids. And it's that artwork that grabs their attention. Oh, hey, this looks cool. Who is this? And then they're coming up to the counter, ask, hey, what do you know about this? What can you tell me? And we're getting back into that whole storytelling thing again. You know what I mean? Where they wouldn't look it up on their phone to get a quick preview of what the song is.
Well, much like buying a physical book, there's nothing like the discovery of flipping through records, as you've said. But here's a question. Do you think younger music lovers get this, the thing that we got, flipping through albums? And do you have customers who are coming in and buying vinyl for the very first time?
Oh, absolutely. Like in my shop alone, I mean, I get anywhere from young kids like 12, 13 years old, all the way up to grandma and grandpa buying albums again.
That's what I was going to ask you. What is the age range?
Oh, it's across the board.
Oh,
it's
wonderful.
It's across the board. I get all ages. I get young kids that are into albums for the first time. I get older people that either they gave up their albums back in the day and now they're coming back, or they're just starting to get into albums. I get people like that all the time. I've just started getting into albums, a couple of months ago. And their whole life they never played them. They're just straight to a CD or something, or the radio. You know what I mean? And now it's like a whole new world going into the vinyl.
Well, do you have any stories of, maybe you just mentioned like a 12 or 13-year-old coming in and discovering the Beatles or Stones or Zeppelin for the first time? Do you have any recollections of somebody coming in and saying, I'm here, I want to hear some rap song? And you go, well, How about this band? How about the Stones? You ever heard of Stones?
Oh, yeah. I'll get that all the time where, like, just say kids, for instance, will call, hey, I'm looking for whatever, such and such band. Okay, well, at the moment, I don't have that. But if you like them, here, check this band out. They're similar. And, you know, take them down that musical rabbit hole to where they'll, if they like it, then they come back and go, man, that was a great album. You got anything else like that?
Yeah.
And then we continue on down that road. But just real quick, back to the Delaney and Bonnie thing, I had a guy just getting into not music, but records for the first time, and he was asking recommendations, and right away I recommended the Delaney and Bonnie album, and he had never heard of them. I says, will you go home and listen, come back, give me a review? And he did. He came back, and I says, so tell me, what'd you think of that? And he goes, man, he goes, I tell you what, as soon as that album started playing, I felt like I was down south in a gospel church. Bingo, right there. I said, this man gets it.
Yeah, that's
and,
cool.
And to me, that's awesome. Just suck people in like
it's
that.
It's that give and take that is so satisfying.
It is. When you turn somebody on to some music that you love and then they love it.
Exactly.
You know, that's why we're doing the radio show and you're doing a record store.
That's like my whole store is my own personal collection, and I'm sharing it with people.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I think it's time for another song. Tim, what band do you want to hear next?
Oh, how about let's dip into a little old Humble Pie, Steve Marriott.
All right, you got it. Humble Pie was one of the best live acts of all times. I saw them so many times, and Steve Marriott could really put on a show. And from their 1974 Thunderbox album, is a real rocker. It's called 99 Pounds, which, by the way, is what I think Steve Marriott weighed.
Yeah, right.
He was a tiny man. So here is, from Thunderbox, 99 Pounds.
I think I'm the only guy who weighs more than, barely more than Steve Perry.
You're about the same size.
I am. I could play him in a movie about his life.
You know, the shame of Stevie Marriott is that he was back with Peter Frampton. They were making the album. And then, you know, unfortunately, Stevie died in the house fire.
Right.
But he was getting back with Frampton to do an album.
Yeah. So. Well, another question for you, Tim. Are most of your customers people who just visit or call your store locally, or are they coming from other areas of Wisconsin or even out of state?
all of the above, actually. I mean, the years I've been around now, it's a nice mixture of locals that live in the area and then people from outer reaches of Wisconsin. But then, of course, being in a resort town of Lake Geneva, I get tons of people from Illinois and all over. And it's been a really pleasant treat that a lot of people come in now and tell me I'm like their destination spot. They'll come from wherever state they're coming from, say to stay the weekend at Lake Geneva, but the first thing they do is come and go to my shop, pick out the records they want, and then go and enjoy their weekend.
Do you get any Green Bay Packers in your store?
Yeah! Go Bears!
Yeah. I knew that was coming.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the type of music you carry in your store, as well as the time periods covered. Do you have a little bit of everything in there?
Yeah, I like to cover a nice genres of the music area, because the thing I look at is you never know who's looking for what. And I like to accommodate everybody as much as possible. And that's the beautiful thing about music, man, is there's so many different genres and styles and eras. So pretty much anything from the 50s up until today, you know what I mean? So it's a nice mixture, but I think over time now I've kind of developed my own self into the hippie jam band store that, you know, I push that stuff on people. It's like my own personal taste, and it's worked out so well. People love it, and, you know, they'll have a couple of shelves on the wall that'll be my album suggestions for the week to, you know, turn people on. And it works out so well because they'll come back asking for more.
Tim's pick of the week.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Well, you obviously like the 1970s, because here's another song you chose to play, and it's the great Joe Cocker. He had a 1971 hit with High Time We Went, and it's off his self-titled album. Yeah. It's off his self-titled album, which didn't come out until 72, and it features Chris Staton on piano, who is, by the way, one of my heroes. So let's listen to High Time We Went.
Yeah, it was the fantastic Joe Cocker with High Time We Went, with Mark's hero, Chris Staton, on piano. Great piano on that song. So, please stay tuned for part two of the Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM, where we play the most memorable and enduring music of all time.